Go ahead and dismiss our junior church classes to have them head downstairs. Please make sure you read your creation moment about weird animals. Animals that confuse scientists. We're talking a little bit about confusion this morning, how some commentators get confused about things. And, you know, it was a good message this morning talking about our Savior. But what we want to talk about this morning, and I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, is where we're going to start. Proverbs chapter 3 this morning, I'm going to try to go through this. This is a lengthy study, okay? This is not a study that is to be taken lightly. This is not a study that is one that you can just kind of casually gloss over. This is a study that is important for your daily Christian walk. And one of the important parts of your daily Christian walk, you need to understand this, is there is a consistency that needs to be taking place in your Christian living. And one of the ways that you have to have this consistency is this issue with trust. And there's a lot of quotes that I can say about trust. There's one that I always take from a movie that I saw once, and it is, at some point in time, you have to trust someone. And in a day and age where it's very difficult to trust anyone, and believe me, one of the first things I was taught was trust no one. Trust no one. You never know who's doing what and who's on what side, so you trust no one. You don't reveal anything about yourself. You definitely don't be transparent. You hold back. That creates some problems. That's not a healthy thing to do. But again, and I understand what the Word of God says about trusting men and trusting princes, putting our confidence in them. I get that. I understand that. But that's not what we're talking about today. Because if you trust the Lord will reveal to you who your real friends are. The Lord will reveal to you who it is in whom you can have some trust about what they do. But I want to be very clear here. We are talking about a principle that will guide and direct you the rest of your life. Because if you do not trust God, you do not trust Him at His Word, faith is going to be an impossible action for you to do. You're not going to be able to do it. Faith requires a trust in God. A faith requires a trust in His Word. When we believe, trust is an element of that. And I know that belief and trust are sometimes used synonymously. I'm going to use a little bit of a synonym in this message this morning, where we talk a little bit about fear. Because again, fear is a lack of trust. Fear is not just a fright. Fear is not just worry. Fear is not just anxiety. Fear is also an issue of mistrust. I mean, you have a bit of a fear when you go to certain places because you don't trust what people are going to do. You don't trust they're going to do the right thing. So there's an element of worry and fear that comes up in your life. And I will tell you this, when you begin dealing with fear and you begin dealing with anxiety in your life, trust is the principal part that you have to begin to work on. You have to trust. And you must trust God. You must trust God. There's a quote that says this. It says, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. And that's something to ponder. That's something to really, really, really ponder, because the Bible says, blessed is everyone that feareth God. Now look, I don't know about you, but I really prefer blessings over cursings. Amen? Amen? I mean, look, I get it. You know, people curse you out when you drive on I-5. I get that. They tell you their IQ, and that's fine. But, you know, I understand this, that's not necessarily what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about blessings versus cursings from God. Blessings in your life occur when you do the right thing. I'm not talking about prosperity here, folks. Okay? I'm not talking about wealth and health. I'm not talking about anything about that, you know, guys like Joel Osteen or Benny or any of those other guys teach, but I will make it very, very clear that when you have a fear of God, you will receive many spiritual blessings in your life. And one of them is that peace that passeth all understanding. When you have that peace that passes all understanding, I guarantee you, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. You ever go through something so bad and so horrible that through it, all of a sudden you just realize, hey, you know what? I'm actually okay with this. You may not necessarily be okay, but you may be okay with it because why? You're trusting God. There's a lack of fear. There's a lack of worry. There's a lack of any of those things that we often commonly think occurs in our life when we go through difficult times. So, and again, whether we are actually going through difficult times or whether it is we are going through times that are specifically oriented to, say, I don't know, blessings, regardless of whatever it is, regardless of whether it's good or bad in your life, if you trust God, the overarching thing is blessings in your life. The overarching is that you begin to say, Lord, I'm nothing. You're everything. Lord, you're going to handle the situation. You're going to the way you handle it. I just need to do what you're telling me to do. Because again, you trust God at what he says. You believe it. And then you do it in obedience. There is the exercise of faith in our lives. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 is a very familiar passage to us. And it starts off with the very first word, trust. And the object of that trust, the object of that verb, that object of action is in the Lord. Not in man, not in something else, not in government, not in the stock market, not in any of those things. But it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's trusting in yourself. You know what I can trust in myself? I'm going to get it wrong. You're like, well, that's kind of a defeatist mentality, a bit of a fatalist. Well, the Bible says that man doesn't do good, that man has issues. The only way that I'm going to do any good is to do what the Lord tells me to do. Amen? So what do we find? He says, trust not in lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We're starting off with trust this morning. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you've given to us. Thank you so much for this time and opportunity, Lord, to be in your word. And Lord, as we study this morning, whether it's more teaching or preaching or however it is viewed, Lord, I just pray that all of it will be glorifying to you and honoring to you. That, Lord, we would take these things and our hearts would be applied unto them, that we would please you. That, Lord, we would grow in that trust. And, Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that is struggling with trusting you, that this morning they'd find comfort in you. They'd find comfort in the trust that they can have in you, the confidence in you and your word. That, Lord, above everything else that has gone on in this world, that will go on in this world, that is going on in this world right now, that, Lord, our trust in you is what will guide us through everything. Through the good times, through the bad times. That, Lord, that trust will grow every single day, as we see many times in scriptures through these people that are here. I thank you again, Lord, for all that are here. Thank you again, Lord, for giving us your word, but above all your salvation in you, that we can trust in you to save our souls. And I do ask and pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we talk about it this morning, we start off with one of the very first things that you need to know about trust. And what we're looking at this morning is we're going to go through six basic things that it come down to trust. How do we trust? This is a practical application this morning. This is what we call a teaching that will give you those principles you need for your life in what to do next. And it starts off with this trust that we're going to talk about. These six items, the very first one is that you have to acknowledge God in everything you do. Everything you do. Now, look, that's difficult because sometimes we get that intellectual assent that he talks about in verse 5 where we think we know better. Amen? And sometimes we think we know better than God. You're like, well, God, I wouldn't do it that way. Well, Lord, I get your plan. I see your plan. It's a good plan. But what if we, you know, no. You know, I understand that many times when we talk about trust, it seems like we're sitting in the passenger seat and Jesus is doing the driving. You ever been with somebody that you can't trust when they drive? The whole time I'm not trying to look at anybody right now. I'm going to look at this wall. That's a nice wall. You've been with somebody that you're driving with them and you're just like, the whole time you're praying, dear Lord, keep us safe. You understand what I'm saying? I'll tell you this. It takes a lot when you put that trust in somebody. Anytime you get on a plane, you put trust in the pilots. You put trust in the mechanics. Some of you are like, that's why I don't fly. Still one of the safest modes of travel. You put trust in the other drivers. You put trust in all these other things. But what I'm getting at is we can't control all those things, and we need to acknowledge that fact. We need to acknowledge God is the director of everything. God is the one that is sovereign over all. And I'm not talking about Calvinism here, okay? I want to make sure I'm not talking about Reformed theology. What I'm talking about is he works in our lives to do things. He keeps us safe. He protects us. All of that we see, all of the things that happen in our life, the Lord uses all of that, including the bad stuff, for his glory. So when we think about this here, there has to come a point where we just say, Lord, if I'm going to trust you, I have to acknowledge you. I have to acknowledge you in everything. I have to acknowledge you when I get up. I have to acknowledge you when I go to bed. I have to acknowledge you when I eat. Sometimes that's the only time people acknowledge God. Lord bless this food. Amen. That's not how you acknowledge God, amen? It's more than that. Lord, help me with this work that I'm doing this morning. Lord, help me deal with my coworkers. Lord, help me deal with my family, amen? Lord, help me deal with my friends. Lord, help me deal with this, every single thing, every relationship you have. Every action, every thought. When you start committing your ways unto the Lord and you start doing those things, I guarantee you what's going to happen is you are going to start acknowledging him in everything, specifically your thought life. Acknowledge him in your thought life. Lord, should I even be thinking about this? You see something different. Turn over to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. The second thing that we find here is when you're going to trust, not only do you have to acknowledge him in every single thing, we're taking a look at Psalm 37, we're going to take a look at verse 5, but you have to wait for him. And there is a specific adjective that is used here. Or adverb, I dare say, is patiently. You have to patiently wait on him. Verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You commit it to the Lord, your direction for your life. Young people, listen up. Commit your way to the Lord early. Let him direct you. Don't let your friends direct you. Don't let professors direct you. Let the Lord direct you. Commit your ways to him. He's the one that will do it. You trust in him. That's what it is. If you trust in Him, you're going to willingly commit to it. You ever run into somebody that has commitment issues? It's because they don't trust. Christians, you shouldn't be one of those people that has issues with commitment to the Lord. Because He's committed a lot to you, you should commit a lot to Him. He's committed His word to you, His promises. And He doesn't trust in you, He trusts in Himself and in His word that He will keep those promises. You do the same. You trust in Him that He's going to keep those promises. So what do? You commit your way. But verse 7 is what I'm looking at here specifically. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. It's rest. You're waiting, and you are waiting patiently. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. What do? Don't look at anyone else. If you're going to wait patiently, wait patiently. You ever been in a line or in a queue, as they call them in other parts of the world, and all of a sudden somebody that was behind you gets to go in front? What do you have a tendency to do? Why? Who are they? What's so special about them? Me, I'm next. And then you stand there and you look at, you give the cashier or whatever it is, or whoever it is, the person that's doing it, you just give them the stare down. You got to let them know. You got to let them know that you're angry, right? You get that frown, you get the scowl, furrow in your brow. The more furrows that you have up there that you could actually plant crops in, those type of furrows, that's what you're looking for. You know, you want to scare the person into going, sorry, yeah, you are next. You know what? This is what I tell people. If people walk in front of me and they go, oh, I'm sorry, were you next in line? I'm like, no, go ahead. I said, I'm too fat and old to worry about it anymore. And they just kind of laugh, and I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. Oh, dear, I'm 2 minutes behind my schedule. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently on Him. Why? Because His schedule is not your schedule. Amen, amen, and amen. It's not. It's not. Turn over to Psalm chapter 56. Acknowledge Him in everything. Wait on Him patiently. In Psalm chapter 56... Psalm chapter 56, and in verse 3, it says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. If you ever are a point in your time in your life where you are afraid, make sure it is in God you trust. Not in anything else. Not in your abilities. Not in any of that. Because those abilities can be gone in an instant. But God is everlasting. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. You know what you have to do? You have to put your trust in the confidence of God. In His protection. And what that means specifically is this, is you need to make sure that when you are going through times that you are afraid, that you do the double check, that you start taking inventory of your life. Where am I trusting? How am I trusting? Am I fully trusting? Am I partially trusting? Is trust left the chat? Where am I? What do? You specifically go through that process of saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And you know how you do it? Notice what he says in verse 4. It's through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God. I mean, he makes it clear right there. He says, I will praise his, in God, I will praise His Word. In God, I have put my trust. They're connected thoughts. They're connected thoughts. So you know what this means? You need to trust God that He will work it out. You need to trust God for not only just the protection, but for the outcome. I'm not going to fear what man's going to do with me. I mean, again, when people, you know, they can threaten you with death. I'm sure that's probably going to increase from time to time. But it's like, oh, man, I get to meet the Savior quicker. Huh. Now, granted, it may not be a way you want to go out, but I will tell you this. You're going to be in the presence of your Savior. I mean, how many times was Paul threatened? How many times was Paul gone through what he went through? And he was stoned. He was beaten. I mean, you know, he was left for dead at one point. All these different things that happened to him in his life. And you know what he says? He says that he very much wanted to be with the Savior. But he said, well, the Lord sees it fit for me to be here for you because it's better for you. I think all of us would rather be with Jesus Christ right now. If you've lived on this earth probably longer than, say, 18 years, you're probably saying, I would like to be with Jesus. I know I would. But it's more needful that we be here. Not for us, but for those that the Lord wants us to minister unto. So what do? We have to make sure that we trust God in His goodness. We trust God in His protection. We trust that He will work it out for good. In Psalm chapter 55, just obviously right next door to what we were, Psalm chapter 55, in verse 22, these are familiar. Some of these verses should be familiar with you. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, look, that doesn't mean that you're just going to have good things happen to you all the time. Well, how do we know that? There's a book called Job. Teaches us otherwise. There's a whole book dedicated to that subject matter. Amen? There's a whole book dedicated to that subject matter. But I'll make it very clear. What we do is we cast everything and our cares and our burdens upon the Lord. This fourth point that I want to make about when it comes to the practical way we trust God is we let God deal with the worry. Let God deal with the worry. So many times we burden ourselves with things that we ought not to. Remember what John Robinson said? Major on the nuances and minor on the knowledge. I'll tell you this. There's things that have been said similar to that. Major on the minor and minor on the major. The major thing that we major on is the Lord. Amen? It's the knowledge of Him. It's the will of God. Everything else really is not a concern. The Lord is the one we need to be worrying about. Am I pleasing God? Not pleasing myself, not what I want, but what the Lord wants. If I sit there and worry about what I want, then that's my burden. But if I care more about what the Lord wants, that's not a burden. And if it is a burden, it's a light burden according to what Jesus Christ said. He's going to sustain me. Now look, going back to believing the Word of God, trusting the Word of God, we believe that's true, right? We believe the Word of God, amen? So, that was weak. But I'll tell you this, one thing that is very clear is you know who our foundation is, right? It's Jesus Christ. He is the rock. So when, not if, but when the winds and the waves come, what happens? We stand sure. We will not be moved. The reason that we shift and the reason that we have issues and the reason that sometimes anxiety gets the better of us and fear gets the better of us is because somewhere along the lines, one part of our foundation wasn't secure. It was in something else other than the rock. It was in the shifting sands of man, of our own design, of our own design. Let's take a look over at Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. Obviously, we're talking about the Word of God in this passage. We've talked about that we need to make sure that we acknowledge Him in everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, every action, every relationship, everything. We need to know that we need to patiently wait for Him on His schedule. We need to understand and have confidence that it is in His best good and interests for us in regards to anything, even regarding protection. We need to understand that we take all of our worries and cares and let Him handle that. And we worry, or we don't worry, but we rest specifically in the foundation that the Lord has put down for us, and that is Jesus Christ. But one thing that we have to begin to understand about trust is it requires that we believe His word fully. It requires we believe His word fully. You ever go through the Bible and you read something and you're like, I don't like that. A little too convicting, or I don't know about that, or you know, we try to somehow think maybe it doesn't apply to us and try to dispensationally cast it aside. Well, don't do that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen. Amen. So you know what we do? We find the application in it. We find the instruction in it. We find any correction in righteousness. Maybe we find a reproof or a rebuke in there. Maybe we find something else that is in there that is necessary for us to do. But that's what God's Word does for us. And what we find in this passage in verse 42 of Psalm chapter 119, he says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Now, that last part is what we're looking at. I trust in thy word. But you know what he's realizing and what he's using specifically the trust in the word of the Lord for? Is when somebody comes and accuses you. When somebody comes and accuses you, don't rely on yourself. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your own goodness. Don't trust in what you have done. Don't trust in anything like that. You trust in the Word of God. Because the way that you answer back is with Scripture. Scripture is always the better way to respond. Don't respond emotionally. Don't respond intellectually, logically. You're like, wait a second. Well, if you use the Word of God, it will be logical, but I'm talking about man's wisdom, okay? You use the wisdom of the Word of God, and He will deal with that situation. So you know what you have to do? Even if it comes to a point where somebody is going through this or doing this to you, you know what you do? The thing that you trust on is not yourself, but is in the Word of God. Not your own words, but His Word. His Word. You have to fully believe the Word of God. If you struggle with trust, ask, do you believe every word that's in this book? Do you believe that every word is inspired? Do you believe every word is perfectly preserved? Do you believe that what we have here is truly the Word of God? We're in a day and age where, again, people don't know this book. I gave the statistic the other day that said in Christian churches today, and I'm not talking about the guys that are a little off color and a little weird and you know false doctrines and things like that. I'm talking about people that would kind of affiliate with us, that would be some sort of, you know, kind of evangelical, maybe they're contemporary, but they're not emergent church, they're not Jehovah's Witness, they're not Latter-day Saints Mormons, they're not any of those kind of crowd. But we're talking about Bible-believing churches and people that claim to be saved, born-again children of God. You know how many truly know the basics of the Bible? Like, how many books are there? What's the major division? New Testament, Old Testament. People like, who's Adam? Who's Abraham? Who's Moses? Who's Jesus? Who's Paul, right? Those things. Single digit number. 6%. 6%. Don't get all, with that ascent of going, well, at least I know more than them. Have you read through every word of God? Every part of this book? Have you been through it? Do you treasure every moment, every part of it? Do you relish in just hearing the word of God read and preached? Do you desire those things? I'll tell you this, fully believing means you fully have read this, you know it, and you want more. That's what you do. That's what you do. The sixth thing that I want you to do is turn to the book of Nahum. The sixth thing in regards to this issue of trust. Is it going to be in regards to this? Let me get there. My pages are kind of sticky. Nahum, the book of Nahum in chapter 1. Nahum chapter 1, and I want you to see here in verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Folks, your stronghold in your life, what gives you the strength to fight day to day, what gives you that courage to face the impossible, is God. And what God does is he says here, he knows who trusts him. He knows who trusts in him. And a person that has that refuge, a person that has that stronghold in this battle, that you can go back to, that you can get provisions, that you can re-equip, that you can get strengthened, that you can get healing, that you can get all those things that, if you will, that base that operates there is God and His Word, and those that trust Him will go to Him for that. They'll go to Him for that. And I want to clarify this. Trusting in something else other than God is not a stronghold. It's a weak defense. It's a weak defense. There was a time I was playing paintball and part of some of the stuff I was doing when I was younger. And me and one of my other teammates was with me, and we were coming around and we were trying to recon to see exactly what was on the other side. And we ran into a small element of guys that were obviously the opposite team, and we were hoping they didn't see us, but they saw us, and we got pinned down on the road. And the end result is we wound up trying to take some cover, and we both dove at the same time. He went first, and I landed on top of him, which was not comfortable for either one of us. And we dove behind what we thought was some cover. And as those paintballs were hitting the plywood, we realized that the plywood had been out there a little bit longer than it should have. Because the paintballs were going through the plywood. And our cover began to wear away. So as I'm pressing down further and my teammates say, "You're crushing me," I'm like, "I'm trying not to die." It was disintegrating. We were getting covered in this mush of wood material. It was all over us. I don't know how it happened. He got hit first. And he yells, "Hit," and then he rolls out from underneath me and he goes walking off. But they knew I was still there and they were pounding on that thing. And finally they tagged me because there was just nothing left. You know, that wasn't a good stronghold. It wasn't a good defense. And what happens in this Christian life is we do that. We trust in something else. We trust in the wisdom of man. We trust in what the world thinks. We trust in what the world says. We trust, dare I say, even in our own intellectual assent, in our own mind, rather than trusting in God. And you know what? God knows that. God knows that. And when we go to Him for that refuge, and we go to Him to be safe, and we go to Him when the battles are just withering, and we're just like, "Okay, I need a break, I need a break, I need to tap out here, I need to go and get some, you know, more provision, I need to be resupplied, I need to get spiritually healed because I've taken a few battle wounds." That's where we go to the Lord and we trust Him. The elements of trust sometimes are not easy. The elements of trust that we look at, that we've seen here in Scripture, sometimes we read those and we look at them, but applying them in our lives is a much more difficult thing to do. But I'll say this, when it comes to trust, it's not a feeling, okay? You're not going to feel trust. It's not going to be something that you can taste, see, hear, or touch, or smell. When you trust and you apply these verses, what happens in your life is the peace, is the security. But it's all in the knowledge of God. Everything that we've seen here is about the knowledge of God. It's not about ours. It's not about anything else. And I want to say this, that people that don't have that knowledge of God have a hard time trusting. I've met some untrustworthy people in my life. I am not very trusting by nature because of my background. I've seen people that have come into my life that have said, "You can trust me. You can trust me." And I don't, because I don't know them. I don't know who they are. You know, before I asked my wife to marry me, I would study her. And I would ask, "Can I trust her?" It'd be foolish to marry somebody that you don't trust. And everything she did revealed to me that I could trust her. And the more that I know her, because you grow in the knowledge of your spouse every single day, sometimes you grow in knowledge that you don't want to know. Sometimes you look at it and go, "Well, I didn't know that about you. Isn't that rather endearing? Let's not do that again." But I will tell you this, I grow in knowledge of her every day, and the trust continues to be built. But if I don't look at the Word of God, and I don't seek to know Him more, and I don't seek the knowledge of Him and grow in the knowledge of Him, I'm going to find it very hard to trust anything in this book that the Lord says. So what I have to do is in every single day, going back over there to Proverbs chapter 3, is this. I have to say, commit. I have to say, trust in the Lord. And I want to go back to that very clearly. Just turn there. Just we'll close here in a minute. In Proverbs chapter 3. There was a little phrase that I kind of glossed over because I want to circle back to this. In verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord. But with what? All thine heart. How much?
All.
What does the word all mean?
All.
Yeah. It's self-defining. It's all-inclusive. It includes every single thing. Every area of my heart. But Lord, you understand, I don't trust what that person's going to do over there. I don't trust this. I don't... Okay, he understands that. He gets that. Take that burden, cast it on him, and let him deal with that. You just trust God.
Yeah.
You just trust God. That's easier than trusting that guy. You trust the Lord. You trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What His plan is for your life, what His direction is for your life, what He wants you to do with your life, how He wants to live, how He wants you to live your life, all of that. All of that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not anything else. Not even in your own plans. God's plans. God's plans. Six simple things. Six simple things that we can look at that can begin to give us that trust in the Lord we should have with everything in our life. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank You again for the time. I thank You again, Lord, for an opportunity to hear from Your Word and to hear from You specifically about how we can trust You. Lord, I pray that we would take these things and we would use them, Lord, in a way that would glorify You, Your name, Your sacrifice. That, Lord, we would trust You with every aspect of who we are and what we do. With our thoughts, with our words, with our actions, with our relationships, with our growth, with it all. And Lord, I thank You again for being a trustworthy God. For being true to Your promises. For being true to who You are. For You revealing Yourself to us in Your Word. That we may know You and that we may grow in You. And Lord, I thank You all for that. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You know, I never know who needs this message. Because I don't preach these messages based off of what I think people need. I base it off of what the Lord leads me. And if you're here today and you have not trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step. You trust first and foremost that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You trust in the fact that your own goodness isn't sufficient enough to save you from the eternal torment that awaits those that reject Christ. You trust that the Lord came and gave of Himself on that cross and shed His blood for our sins and died on that cross for us. And you trust above all in the power of his resurrection, where he rose again on the third day, conquering sin and conquering death, so that we may have that forgiveness of sins, because he paid that payment for us. You trust in that first. If you're here today and you've never done that, I want to ask you to do it today. Don't delay. Don't wait. Trust him for your salvation first and foremost. And if you're here and you haven't done that, don't be embarrassed. When we begin singing, just come forward. Come forward and ask, what is this salvation? What is this trust you speak of? And somebody will show you from the Word of God, which you can trust, how you can know that you have forgiveness of sins and an eternal home in heaven. Brother and sister in Christ, if you're here today and maybe you're struggling with some issues of fear and anxiety, fear and anxiety are normal things and we use them to draw nearer to the Lord, draw nearer to His trust. But maybe those emotions have overridden some of the things in your life. And if that's you here this morning, I just pray that you would maybe just come kneel at all up here on these steps, pray in your seat, whatever it is. Just ask the Lord, help me to know you more that I may trust you more every day. If you need to talk with somebody, just come up and say, I need to talk more about this. Can you help me? Just come. Nobody here is going to judge. Nobody here is going to have issues. Every person here should, and we'll be praying for you. Again, Lord, I just thank you for this time. Pray you just continue to meet with us as we close with a hymn. I ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.